If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Authorities say Portuguese national Claudio Neves Valente is responsible for the shooting at Brown University and the death of MIT professor Nuno Loureiro. The suspect was found dead last night from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in a storage facility in New Hampshire. At a news conference last night, Providence, Rhode Island Police Chief Oscar Perez said the community stepped up in helping locate the shooter.
We looked at financial records, we looked at video footages, and in the specific incident, it was actually a video that provided us with a description of a vehicle. That was corroborated through a tip that was received through the tip center.
Audio courtesy WJAR. After officials released the information, President Trump suspended the green card lottery program that allowed the suspect to enter the U.S.
I will tell you that he took his own life tonight.
Providence Police Chief Colonel Oscar Perez at a news conference Thursday night covered by WJAR.
An individual was identified as Claudio Neves Valente.
Perez says he was 48 years old.
He was a Brown student. He was a Portuguese national.
Perez says video helped ID the suspect's vehicle. That was corroborated by a tip, and surveillance technology led to a Massachusetts car rental where they got
footage of this individual, as well as a copy of the agreement, which provided his real name.
Investigators believe Neves Valente is also responsible for the killing of an MIT professor 2 days after the Brown shooting that left 2 dead and 9 wounded. I'm Ben Thomas.
A business jet crashed yesterday while trying to return to a North Carolina airport shortly after takeoff. Retired NASCAR driver Greg Biffle was among the 7 people killed, including his wife and 2 children. Joshua Green was with golfers at nearby Lakewood Golf Club.
It was way too low. Huge explosion.
An NTSB briefing is scheduled for today.
A private business jet crashed and exploded into flames Thursday morning at Statesville Regional Airport in North Carolina. A statement from NASCAR and a joint statement released by the families confirms that 7 people aboard were killed, including the plane's owner, Greg Biffle, his wife, Christina, their son, Ryder, and Biffle's teenage daughter, Emma. Biffle was known as a legendary NASCAR driver and for his charity work delivering supplies to victims after Hurricane Helene. The other victims were identified as Biffle's friends, Craig Wadsworth and Dennis Dutton, and Dutton's son, Jack. The statement says, "This tragedy has left all of our families heartbroken beyond words." The plane's flight plan had it bound for Sarasota, Florida, Treasure Island in the Bahamas, and then back to Statesville the same day. But the Cessna turned back just a few minutes after takeoff before attempting to land.
Plane just crashed at Lakewood.
Joshua Green was with golfers at nearby Lakewood Golf Club who were shocked to witness the crash.
It was way too low. Huge explosion.
Video from the scene shows first responders rushing onto the runway as flames burned near scattered wreckage. An initial NTSB briefing is expected Friday. I'm Jennifer King.
The U.S. military says it conducted 2 more strikes against alleged drug smuggling boats in the Eastern Pacific and says 5 people were killed. In Romania, American rapper Wiz Khalifa was sentenced by a court to 9 months in jail for drug possession. The decision came more than a year after he took part in a music festival in the Eastern European country. World shares advanced today after the Bank of Japan raised its key policy rate to its highest level in 30 years. And U.S. inflation cooled more than expected. More information at apnews.com. This is AP News.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports on the Trump administration's sweeping new proposals to effectively eliminate gender-affirming care for minors.
The new proposals include cutting off federal Medicaid and Medicare funding from hospitals providing such care to children and prohibiting federal Medicaid dollars from being used to fund procedures Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says rob kids of their futures.
This is not medicine, it is malpractice.
The approach contradicts the recommendations of most major U.S. medical organizations. The proposals are not final or legally binding, but will likely further intimidate healthcare providers from offering gender-affirming care to children. Many hospitals have already stopped. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
President Trump has signed an executive order that could reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. It's a major shift in federal drug policy that would move marijuana from its current status as a Schedule I drug, like heroin.
We have people begging for me to do this, people that are in great pain.
Many states have legalized the recreational use of marijuana or allow it for medicinal purposes. Federal laws have remained stricter. The president stresses this move would not make recreational use legal nationwide, but it could change how the drug is regulated and open new avenues for medical research. President Trump's hand-picked board has voted to rename Washington's leading performing arts center as the Trump Kennedy Center. His spokeswoman says it's because of the unbelievable work the president has done in saving the building and its reputation.
Well, I was honored by it. The board is a very distinguished board, most distinguished people in the country. And I was surprised by it.
He couldn't have been that surprised since he's been referring to it like that.
The Trump Kennedy Center, I mean...
Congress named it the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. It's unclear whether the board has the authority to simply change it. Some Democrats are blasting the switch as illegal. A U.S. official says a Kremlin envoy will be in Florida this weekend to talk about a U.S. proposal for ending Russia's war in Ukraine. The official says Kirill Dmitriev will meet with Trump administration envoys in Miami. That comes after Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner sat down with Ukrainian and European officials this week. Russian leader Vladimir Putin has warned Moscow would seek to extend its gains in Ukraine if Kyiv and its Western allies reject the Kremlin's demands in peace talks.
Putin doesn't want to stop this war, but he can, if United States will pressure more.
In Brussels, for a summit with European leaders, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's counting on that pressure. The Trump administration is proposing sweeping new restrictions that would effectively ban gender-affirming care for minors. It's the latest crackdown on transgender Americans. The new proposals include cutting off federal Medicaid and Medicare funding from hospitals providing such care to children and prohibiting federal Medicaid dollars from being used to fund procedures Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says rob kids of their futures.
This is not medicine. It is malpractice.
The approach contradicts the recommendations of most major U.S. medical organizations. The proposals are not final or legally binding, but will likely further intimidate healthcare providers from offering gender-affirming care to children. Many hospitals have already stopped. President Trump's pledge to send a warrior dividend to American troops is not quite what he made it seem last night during his primetime address.
We are sending every soldier $1,776.
Not every soldier. The money will go to about 1.5 million. And while the president billed it as a Christmas bonus,
because of tariffs, along with the just passed one big beautiful bill,
his suggestion that the payments are possible due to tariff revenues is not really true. A senior administration official says the Pentagon's distributing $2.6 billion to troops as a one-time housing supplement from money Congress had already authorized in July's tax cuts and extensions bill. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Democrats in the House released several dozen more photos from the estate of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Earlier, photos were released of Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, and the former Prince Andrew. These photos are of Epstein cooking with an Emirati businessman, a billionaire Bill Gates, and images of a 2011 dinner of notable people and wealthy philanthropists hosted by a nonprofit group. Democrats on the Oversight Committee made no accusations of wrongdoing by the men in the photos. The release leads up to the deadline for the Justice Department to release its files on Epstein. This is House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We do expect compliance, but if the Department of Justice does not comply with what is federal law at this point, there will be strong bipartisan pushback.
Also released were photos of Epstein with women and girls whose faces were blacked out. In a recorded message, Rob Reiner urged Holocaust survivors to show resilience. The message was recorded weeks before Reiner and his wife Michelle were killed in their Los Angeles home. It was shown as around 100 Holocaust survivors gathered at the Western Wall in Jerusalem to light the fifth candle of Hanukkah. Reiner noted his wife's family was killed at Auschwitz. In his words, he said, "We're living at a time where what's happening in our country is scary and reminiscent of what we've seen happen in the past, and we just hope that we can all survive this and we can hold on to our democracy." The vocal critic of President Trump also said, "If ever we need to be resilient, it's now." Reiner's son is charged in the stabbing deaths of his parents. I'm Ed Donahue.
A celebration in North Carolina as the Lumbee tribe has won federal recognition. Congress had considered the issue for more than 30 years, but the effort gained momentum after President Donald Trump endorsed the tribe on the campaign trail last year. John Oxendine says it's been a long time coming.
All my life I've felt the sorrows and hurt from not being fully federally recognized. And I've seen a lot of my grandparents, my dad, all of them pass. What has ever happened?
Federal recognition means the Lumbee tribe will have access to new streams of federal money and grants, as well as to resources such as the Indian Health Service. Recognition was attached to the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act, which passed in the Senate on Wednesday. And once Trump signs it into law, the Lumbee will be one of the largest tribal nations in the country, with about 60,000 members. Pope Leo XIV has named a fellow Chicagoan as the next Archbishop of New York. He's Bishop Ronald Hicks, who's been the Bishop of Joliet, Illinois for about 5 years, serving some 520,000 Catholics. Hicks will replace the retiring Cardinal Timothy Dolan, who submitted his resignation in February. The 58-year-old Hicks grew up in South Holland, Illinois, and once told a local TV station that he and Pope Leo, the former Robert Prevost, grew up in the same neighborhood, even though they didn't meet until last year. In November, Hicks endorsed a special message from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops condemning the Trump administration's immigration raids. I'm Donna Warder.
An Arizona jury has sentenced a man to death for his string of killings in Metro Phoenix during 2017. The jury was undecided on the punishment for his convictions in the killings of his stepfather and mother, but Cleophas Cooksey Jr. was sentenced to death in 6 murders in Metro Phoenix in 2017. The punishment marks the end of a 7-month trial over attacks that targeted random victims and his own mother and stepfather. Cooksey was found guilty in late September of murder in the killings. The victims included 2 men found dead in a parked car, a security guard shot while walking to his girlfriend's apartment, and a woman who was kidnapped, her body found in an alley, after police said she was sexually assaulted. Cooksey has maintained his innocence. I'm Haya Punjwani.
Country musician Jelly Roll, legal name Jason DeFord, was among 33 people to receive a pardon from Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, acknowledging the award-winning Nashville native's long road back from drugs and prison. The musician had backing from civic leaders like the sheriff of Davidson County and the CEO of Live Nation. He received a non-binding recommendation from the state parole board back in April when he talked about how a pardon would make it easier for him to travel and share his message.
Every time I travel, it takes a team of lawyers and a mountain of paperwork to secure my entry into those countries.
After arrests for aggravated robbery and drug dealing when he was younger, Jelly Roll now often visits jails and rehabilitation centers to talk about second chances and has even testified before Congress. Last week, he was invited to become a member of the Grand Ole Opry, and he's received 3 2026 Grammy nominations, including Best Contemporary Christian Music Performance. I'm Jennifer King.
5 new defendants have been charged in connection with the Minnesota Housing Services fraud scheme. During a news conference, First Assistant U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson said that federal officials suspect a significant portion of roughly $18 billion paid out by Medicaid to Minnesota programs was fraudulent.
What we see in Minnesota is not a handful of bad actors committing crimes. It's a staggering industrial-scale fraud. It's swamping Minnesota and calling into question everything we know about our state.
He said 2 defendants pocketed $750,000 instead of helping Medicaid recipients find stable housing. Prosecutors allege that they used the proceeds to travel to international destinations, including London and Dubai. One defendant submitted $1.4 million in fraud claims, using some to purchase cryptocurrency. Federal officials say he fled the country after receiving a subpoena. Audio courtesy of KSTP. I'm Haya Punjwani.
Brian Walsh has been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of his wife, Anna Walsh. Judge Diane Frenier called Walsh's crimes barbaric and incomprehensible.
Mr. Walsh, you will live with the guilt and burden of Anna Walsh's death for the rest of your life.
The sentence carries no possibility of parole. The Boston area man pleaded guilty on Monday to first-degree murder. Anna Walsh disappeared nearly 3 years ago, and her body has never been found. Brian Walsh pleaded guilty in November to misleading police and illegally disposing of a body, saying he panicked when he found she had died in bed. Investigators relied on his online searches about dismemberment and disposing of a body, as well as surveillance video showing a man resembling Walsh throwing heavy trash bags into a dumpster. Many items were recovered from the dumpster bearing Brian and Anna's DNA, including her vaccination card. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks rose on Wall Street following an encouraging report on inflation that could keep the door open for more interest rate cuts next year. A strong profit report from Micron Technology helped shore up AI stocks, which had been falling recently. The S&P 500 rose 0.8% Thursday. That broke a 4-day losing streak. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 65 points. That's about 0.1%. Gains for tech stocks sent the NASDAQ Composite up 1.4%. Treasury yields eased in the bond market. The government reported that inflation wasn't as bad as expected last month. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 4.11%. Seth Sutel, New York.
Inflation unexpectedly slowed last month. Consumer prices were up 2.7% in November from a year earlier. They had risen 3% on an annual basis in September. This was the first report since because of a government shutdown delay, and forecasters had expected the same number. President Trump last night touted easing inflation while arguing he inherited an economic mess.
I am bringing those high prices down
and bringing them down very fast.
Still, inflation remains above the Federal Reserve's 2% target, partly because of the president's tariffs. And while they've so far been less inflationary than feared, they are still affecting prices and complicating the Fed's decisions about whether to keep cutting interest rates to support a slowing jobs market. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A modest drop for mortgage rates. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage eased this week to 6.21%. That's just below where it was last week. The average rate has been mostly holding steady in recent weeks, hovering close to its low point for the year. When mortgage rates fall, they give home shoppers more purchasing power. Several housing economists are forecasting that the average rate on a 30-year mortgage will remain slightly above 6% next year. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. The Seahawks rallied from 16 points down to beat the Rams 38-37 in overtime and clinch a playoff berth on Thursday Night Football. Sam Darnold tossed a 4-yard TD to Jackson Smith and Jigba with 3:13 remaining and a winning 2-point conversion to Eric Saubert for coach Mike McDonald's team.
The players ultimately make it happen, so once we got that drive going, it was pretty clear on what we were going to do.
Receiver Jacoby Myers and the Jaguars agreed to a 3-year, $60 million extension. NBA, Jalen Brunson hit a go-ahead three with 4.4 seconds remaining to lift the Knicks over the Pacers 114-113 in an East Finals rematch. Giannis Antetokounmpo says he's focused on recovering from his right calf strain and not rumors about his Bucks future. And retired NASCAR driver Greg Biffle and his family were among 7 people killed in a North Carolina plane crash. Bettors aren't rushing to place wagers on the opening week of this season's college football playoff, except for Friday night's Alabama-Oklahoma showdown. The presence of 2 Group of 5 teams, Tulane and James Madison, as underdogs has lessened excitement. Mississippi is favored over Tulane and Oregon over James Madison. Joey Fiesel from Caesars Sportsbook says excitement may increase in later rounds. The most anticipated matchup is Oklahoma against Alabama, and the betting line has been fluctuating. Ohio State remains the overall favorite despite losing the Big Ten championship. Rams receiver Puka Nacua has apologized for making a gesture linked to anti-Semitic tropes during an internet live stream. In an Instagram post on Thursday, Nacua said he was unaware of the gesture's anti-Semitic connections and apologized. Nacua appeared on a live stream with internet personality Aiden Ross, who suggested the gesture as a touchdown celebration. California Congressman Eric Swalwell criticized Nacua, calling it insensitive after a recent Hanukkah attack in Sydney. Nacua also criticized NFL referees during the stream. The WNBA players have authorized their union's executive council to call a strike if necessary. That's according to an announcement Thursday by the WNBPA. The union and league have been negotiating a new collective bargaining agreement for the past few months, extending the deadline a couple of times, with the latest one set to expire January 9th. The union said there was overwhelming support in the vote to allow the executive council to call for a strike when it sees fit. Players and owners have been negotiating regularly. Kevin Garnett will finally have his number 21 formally retired by his original team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves announced Thursday they've hired Garnett as a team ambassador with a plan to honor him in a jersey-raising ceremony on a future date. The fifth pick in the 1995 draft played the first 12 of his 21 NBA seasons for Minnesota before returning in 2015 for a farewell year. He has essentially been estranged from the organization because of a rift with former owner Glenn Taylor. Taylor sold the team to Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Speaking at his highly orchestrated year-end news conference, Russian President Vladimir Putin says forces have fully seized the initiative. Putin declares, "Our troops are advancing all across the lines of contact, faster in some areas or slower in others, but the enemy is retreating in all sectors." He remains confident the Kremlin's military goals will be achieved nearly 4 years after he ordered troops into the neighboring country. In the early days of the conflict, Ukraine's forces managed to thwart an attempt by Russia's larger, better-equipped army to capture the capital of Kyiv. But the fighting soon settled into grinding battles, and Moscow's troops have made slow but steady progress over the years. EU leaders have agreed a massive interest-free loan to Ukraine to meet its military and economic needs for the next 2 years, but they failed to bridge differences with Belgium that would allow them to use frozen Russian assets to raise the funds. After almost 4 years of war, the International Monetary Fund estimates that Ukraine will need $161 billion in 2026 and 2027. The government in Kyiv is on the verge of bankruptcy and desperately needs the money by the spring. The plan has been to use some of the $246 billion worth of Russian assets that are frozen in Europe, mostly in Belgium. The leaders worked deep into Thursday night to reassure Belgium that they would protect it from any Russian retaliation if it backed the reparations loan plan. But as the talks bogged down, the leaders eventually opted to borrow the money on capital markets. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Israel has carried out intense airstrikes on southern and northeastern Lebanon. Lebanon's National News Agency reported that the strikes stretched from Mount Rehan to the northeastern Hanmel region. Israel's attacks happened a day before a meeting of a committee monitoring a U.S.-brokered ceasefire that was agreed a year ago between Israel and Hezbollah. However, the UN has confirmed that since the ceasefire, Israel has carried out almost daily airstrikes on Lebanon, killing 120 civilians so far. India has signed a comprehensive economic partnership agreement with Oman. This move is part of India's strategy to offset the impact of steep US import tariffs and expand its export destinations amid global trade uncertainties. The agreement, signed in Muscat, aims to boost bilateral trade and enhance India's export of engineering goods, textiles, leather, pharmaceuticals, and agricultural products. India has accelerated efforts to finalize several free trade agreements, including with the European Union, New Zealand, and Chile. These agreements are central to India's economic strategy for deeper integration into global supply chains and stronger export growth. Hundreds of mourners have gathered in Sydney for the funeral of a 10-year-old girl killed in a mass shooting during a Hanukkah celebration on Bondi Beach. The attack left 15 people dead. Authorities say the suspects, a father and son, were inspired by the Islamic State group, although investigations into their backgrounds continue. The tragedy has sparked a national conversation about anti-Semitism in Australia. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has announced reforms, including tougher hate speech laws and stricter gun controls. I'm Karen Chemas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.